Damaged Goods Podcast. It was even worse back then. Like back then, like she was getting letters from the church. You know what I'm saying? Like, so anybody mother, your mother's a hoe.
What kind of letters they sent you? Like, hey, we're aware of your like promiscuous activity. Like,
back in the day, they would do stuff like that. Think about when your grandmother growing up, and your mother growing up. If you grew up in a certain area, especially like the metropolis, and you grew up in a church, you was involved in the church. They was just trying to let you go. First of all, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people dealt with that.
I know Catholic Church. They try to do that. They try to keep you like kind of in their loop. In there, yeah. Like that, you know. I know
it's like different. Each church is its own little cult.
Yeah, exactly. They want to keep you in there, influencing your shit like that. What's going on in your life? You know, it's wild times like that. You know, this very suave, intelligent, prolific voice on Damaged Goods this week is an old friend of mine, one of the most prolific artists I know, MC extraordinaire, writer, producer, artist, Quiz the Coyote. That some listeners may know formerly as the artist Amadeus the Stampede.
Yeah. I was cloned from Amadeus's mole on his back.
Part of the group, The Greater Good, which I was also a part of. And he's definitely like one of the most influential artists I know personally. Like when we were younger, bro, like, you know, you were a little older, you and Wiz and shit like that, even though we were peers to a degree before we were in a group together, dudes were like revered your lyrics, your shit. It sounded like the shit we was young listening to. You sounded like already so efficient.
That's crazy. I always liked that. You know, I felt honored that people would say that, but in my head, I was like, I was whack.
That's why you're a good artist, bro. Like a good artist is always a little harder on themselves. Very self-critical, I feel like, you know?
I mean, I watched you evolve too. I remember you were Sub-Zero was your homie. I was in the group.
Yeah.
I was like, throw your hands up. That's like high school rap.
I came from the graffiti writer, like b-boy background, hip hop, and then so I met like I was cool with Specs and Touch, and they would play like shit that you recorded. They would talk about you, but I've never met you. I was like, yo, this dude sounds like he should have had like 4 platinum albums already. You know, like he was so ill. I mean, they were nice too, but they were like my age and all that. And this is the older homie. Oh my God. And then like met you, like kick it with you. It was like my man Wiz, like our boy Wiz. He was the same kind of older, like mythic kind of dude that was so talented, like sounded like he'd been that good forever, you know?
Yeah, that's how he was interesting. Like, he was brought to me like that. I think it was him first, and then it was like, well, you gotta meet the rest. So then like it was you, and I was like, I don't know a dude named Snake. I don't know if I want me to dude named Snake.
Yeah.
Right. And then we all had that freestyle session.
Oh yeah,
that's. And then you called me like you want to join a rap group. I was like, nah, bro, I'm good. He was like, what? You gotta go? Dog, I don't know if you didn't notice back then. I was playing out 5 days a week. I was in a band.
The band and shit, you were rocking.
Yeah, like nobody knew about that. Yeah, it was like you know I was in a band, but like we was rocking hard, bro. Like
you were always busy, bro. You were always doing
rocking hard. Yeah, and I don't think I don't think I've been told about this either. Like I was signed when I was in the 90s, bro.
In the 90s, which is crazy because in the 90s, I'm still like a 10, 11, 12, 14, 18, you know, like I'm a wee lad, dude. I'm not even in the realm of being an adult yet, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, no, that's just, I was on, it's called EMS Records. They was out like, it was like Lynn Mass and all that, EMS Records. So we was recording, like I got a whole album with these dudes. So when we first started, it was ADATS. And the dude was like, I need 16 bars for each song or whatever. I thought a bar was a scheme, like 2 lines. Yeah, I'm spending 32s, and if I mess up, I get over it. Like, that's how I got nice, I guess. But, yeah, we were signed to them, and then I guess just me and my man's like, we was a street dude, so, like, we were supposed to do a show with Redman, he got bagged. And then we were supposed to do a show with Big Pun, I got bagged. Wow. Like, you can remember, like, you even know these shows from back in the day. You could tell, like, the big shows, yeah. I was supposed to open on a bunch of them joints, but it was always either he's bagged, I'm bagged, or we both bagged, or you know what I'm saying? Like I'm out hustling somewhere. I didn't care about it. But it was mad fun. I didn't have the vision to see like, oh, I could be a rapper. It was just something we did in the streets.
When
like, going from block to block.
When did you get that vision though? Like when was the turning point where you were like, fuck, I could do this for real? Or I wanna
I never had it, bro. I like I never had the vision of like, oh, a rap superstar. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when what's his name? The dude from Raps Entertainment signed me. Like, he was like, y'all want to sign you and start a record label? I was like, nah, bro, I'm good.
What was his fuck? What was
like
that?
Valis.
Yeah.
It took him a year to even get me to like talk about it.
Really? Because you were.
I was on house arrest.
I figured you would have like been so motivated for that shit. You were just always cranking out.
I love writing. I love, like, even right now, like, I need money. Like, I want the world to know me and all that. But like, I'm stepping away from hip hop because there's no culture in it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, they stole the culture about controlling people's minds. Where like, you got these cloud chasers and you got people like, you got to be the person that you say you want in your music. Oh, yeah, we don't embellish. We don't exaggerate. We don't play. We don't play. The best rapper in the world is Eminem to this day. So why are they switching the rules for us?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Right? So it's like an intelligence trap. That's a trap music. It's an intelligence trap. I'm not going to – I'll go out there and smack somebody in the face. I'm not going to just rap about it until like the limitations is up and shit like that. So the intelligence trap is crazy, but then – behind the scenes, you got like people who are kind of like rooting for the streets. Like now in Chicago, police don't go check on the shit no more. So now it's a chance for young kids to live in a life, and it's going to develop into something different. Drill culture is going to become something different. It's too big. It's just been too much things said, done, and people been exposed to too much. But when I talk to people, especially our age, you know, middle age, especially white men, I'm like, you don't understand what you're looking at. When you're talking about that, you're talking about something that's been going on forever in Black America, you're just getting a closer look at it. Everybody has a camera phone, but the stats really ain't changed. I mean, there's some places are real bad, but when you was growing up, it was always switched back and forth. Detroit's number one. Boston's number one. New York's number one. Chicago's number one. And then at some point, when they started spreading that L.A., the actual like political gang culture, like everything that branched off from the Black Panthers, the Crips and the Bloods and the GDs and the folks. So, I mean, the people, when all that happened on Peacestone, when that shit started spreading, what happened was people don't understand that every one of these gangs were branched off from political activist groups of Black Panthers, and they were corrupted. Now, that's counterintelligence. Counterintelligence gets in, hip hop gets huge as fuck. Biggest rapper in the world is Eminem. Intelligence got to get a part of that. Intelligence is in Hollywood. If they got a part in Hollywood, why wouldn't they be in the most lucrative?
They keep an eye on all that shit. You know, they keep an eye on everything. They always track.
Yeah, so counterintelligence would be somebody with power. I mean, I ain't going to say no names, but there are people who you see who popping. I don't care if they white or black. They're already compromised. And I'm not talking about the superstars. I'm talking about the people who are influencing from the ground up, these huge who came from the grassroots who've been compromised. So that's why I stepped away from. I'm like, fuck hip-hop. Then, like, you can call me corny. You can call me fake, you can call me whatever. I'm writing songs that are cinematic. I want to be able to sell my song to a movie. I want to be able to sell my song to a TV show. Signed. You know what? Actually, my OG was on. My big homie was signed. He got signed the same time Eminem did.
Who?
Punch, man. Punch Fight with Poison. He's like the big homie.
That's ill.
I didn't like he was like my closest, the dude closest to me was like his little bro. Because he had a baby with his little sister. Wait. Right. Anyway, like, yeah. So,
baby Punch, with his little sister. Did you just say he had a baby with his little sister?
My homie, the closest dude to me, was his sister's baby father. Oh. So she was around. Like, yeah, she was around. Like, she was around in the projects with his whole time. Sister, he had a baby with him. But this is my sister's best friend. But all right, so this is what dudes don't know about Punch. And everybody should know who Punch is. Everybody should know, like, all right. The big scheme of things, this happens on the regular. You'll get a dope artist, because Punch had street poets back in the early 90s. Like, he was already, he got the title song for that movie, Squeeze.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Young kid that bought the dude with like, canaries in the attic. That was Punch. And he had a group, street poets was a tape you will go get. It was like Orange Man type, but later on. And, he was really about it, bro. He's like super smart, talented. Like, he was wild, though. He's like one of them dudes who ran the streets and just packs of dudes, but he got signed, and he actually wrote Dre's verse on What's the Difference with Eminem. He wrote that verse.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, he got the bag for that. So
that's hell. Shit.
I looked up to him, but like, it wasn't like I looked up to him like on some rap type shit. he knew I was nice. He was like, you ready to battle me at any moment. But yeah, like looking up to him and then, you know, Wise Guys and all that. Yeah. So when I was coming up and I was signing, I didn't think nothing of it. Like I started rapping just because dudes found my poetry and was like, come to the studio, and I just fell in love with it. I like going out there.
He was writing poetry.
Taking that 2-hour bus ride, punching people in the face and shit. Like, yeah. Like just wilding, like, yeah.
But yo, you was writing poetry first, right?
Yeah, I was writing poetry first. Like, my brother, like, I love hip hop. I always rap, but
yeah.
When I wrote, he said it looked like raps, but because I grew up listening to rap. But like, I'm heavy into classic literature.
Yeah.
So I would write. I had one joint called Salty Crackers. About, so I went to a white school.
Yeah.
I saw a dog, and I wrote it in hand style. So I'm always like, who wrote this? She said, who wrote this thing here? And I was like, well, me. It was dirty, bro. It was nasty. It was. My moms would have been mad. So I was like, nah, it wasn't me. She's like, well, it's really good. I'm like, yeah, thanks. The Jay gonna suck me in with no compliments. Yeah,
that's how they get you. That's how they trap you.
Like, I ain't doing it.
Oh, it was mine. I gotcha.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you ain't get me like that. Yeah. But that was the whole thing. So music's important. I like to, I still write poetry.
Yo, bro, I was doing poetry when I was younger, and I saw how hip hop was full of poetry. That's the artist I loved. I respected that. So I wanted to bring that in. And now that I'm doing like books and writing poems again, I still take my approach from like writing rhymes, you know, but you know, rhyme in the book or whatever, but I want it to be poetic. My favorite writers, my favorite authors are at least got poetic elements to them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Expressive. So the thing is, this is funny because you have songs like Shadows that I really like. You have songs like, was it My Will? My Last Will?
Yeah.
Like songs like that. Like you have a lot of relationship songs, but then you have songs we mentioned, like your family, like how you came up and stuff. But it don't sound like braggadocious hip hop. It's more introspective, right?
Yeah.
And that form of it was, that was our school. That was our contemporary class of artists, no matter where they was from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even like the dudes in Canada.
Yeah.
Who was coming out of New York and LA, it was staying more and more introspective. So that was our class. And then I don't know how we lost it to get to.
Yeah.
I think dudes from our class really went pop. You got dudes our age went pop a few years older than us, from Prodigy and all them other dudes.
But cross that line too, it's hard to go back because now all the money's coming, all the rewards, other people see what's potentially there for them.
But I love it though, because street artists say the same thing. Like, I got money, but I'm supposed to be standing back on the block.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for artists. Like, you just went pop. I'm not going to ask you to make no more horrorcore music.
It's true. Like, I got graffiti writer homies who blew up on the art shit, on canvases, on big walls, and they make a lot of money. They can't be out there bombing all the time, catching tags, getting arrested. They make a real serious living. They still love that shit, but they've transitioned. Yeah. Some of the other writers who did not go that way, they look at them a little bit like, oh, you ain't going to go catch a tag. You ain't going to risk going to prison at 49.
Right.
Like, you're freebie. Like,
hey, jump the third rail. So jump the third rail. It's like, yo, bro, chill out.
Great.
But it's even like that, even without the success, like as men evolve. I've watched you evolve as an artist. Like everybody that came up with us, from you to, like, even Dre. I thought Dre Vibe was going to blow. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Like, he was the one, like, he was the one, as far as I've seen, like, he was like a Will Smith with dreadlocks.
Yeah, like, for real. He had a huge pull, like, the commercial appeal, but he was still keeping it kind of funky and real. He had, outside the state, people would have fucked with him, or they were fucking with
him. Because he had a good, like,
he had a good team.
I mean, even, like, you know, just rappers we know, like, you know, Ghost Riders and stuff, and, I mean, you got to respect it. But then at the end of the day, I felt like a lot of these dudes got blackballed. They got, like, shut out the shows. And
that's a real thing in music biz, is getting blackballed.
I watched it because, like, the dudes, like, there was times, like, dudes would come to the show and be wanting to beat up the promoter. And I'm like, nah, bro, like, what are you doing? Like, and then I'll take the promoter. I'm like, yo, I'll talk to the promoter, like, yo, bro, like, why are you doing this, bro? Like,
yeah.
You know, he think he's something, like, he just can't be walking backstage. The fuck he can't. You're not from here. I don't understand this, but I had to watch. I'm not the one pulling the strings. Like,
anybody likes to.
I had to watch, but I always brought it up. Like, you can't say somebody's old and bitter. These motherfuckers walk the bricks.
Yeah, they set a fucking precedent that you weren't even around for. You know.
I mean, I don't care. Like Cool Jesus or whatever. Like, you should be able to, who you are, what you did for the city. You should be able to be dodging the police and duck into a show and go backstage and kick your feet up.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty ill.
Because that's what the life was like in hip hop. That's what it was. It was never this people gatekeeping at the lowest levels of the game. Like, it's not like that. Not like this. He laid the bricks that we walk on. He can't kick his feet up at a show backstage. He ain't asking to get on stage and rap. He's not taking a mic from nobody. But I'm not going to let the dude put himself out there and put his hands on somebody because that person used their power to. I'll talk to that. I always, 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 always was the one advocating for
him. Very diplomatic.
When I got my chance, I put hands on it. So it was like the promoters, like not the.
Do you think the gatekeeper type shit changed at any point, like 2010-ish, 8-ish, 12, like the internet, fucking, you could like put your own shit out on you know, SoundCloud, whatever, like all that shit. Do you feel like it diluted the power that gatekeepers had a little bit?
Well, there was that, remember that small, I just saw this too, that small town in North Carolina that had them distribution labels for all the CDs.
What?
Who? This is around like, this is like Snoop Dogg, Exhibit, Eminem days. Like they was leaking, they were printing a million CDs a day. They was able to do this. And then this is where all the leaks came from that turned into MP3s.
Nah, what was the label?
This is like the early 2000s. Remember every big album that got leaked early, even from like back in the day?
Yes.
Like, yeah. So like in the early 2000s got real bad. This one guy got rich off it. And then it turned into that. So that in-between period was when hip hop went from, it was like dudes like Exhibit, like real lyricists and alcoholics, and you start seeing them on TV. Now you got a third. Now you're feeding people who don't want to pay $20 a CD. Tile Records, you go to Tile Records with your bag lined up. You know what I'm saying? They was already taking L's. You let the wrong people through the door at the factory. You got the wrong people involved in what you're trying to, and that's where the gatekeeping came in.
Yeah.
So when they started blowing like big dudes up, like Eminem and like 50 Cent, so even before that, like the Snoop Dogs, the Tupacs of, you know, our lifetime, right? When the music started getting introspective and people wanted it more, there was nothing they could do to stop the flood. Then it started to trickle down to like the young artists. Like we was listening to it, so our music started to change.
Yeah, sure.
So then the dudes, the gatekeepers changed. Like the dudes who were doing the shows now, they weren't rappers, but they had Eye of Being dreams.
Yeah.
So then they want to control things. They got Eye of Being dreams, but not for everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
They got Eye of Being dreams for the guy they went to school with, or the guy who's dating his cousin. And that's where it just got corrupted. Yeah. They lost respect because people who didn't understand the culture want to be a part of the industry. Now you can say anything you want about it. I'm not trying to put nobody under the bus, but the plain simple fact is these dudes who were rapping were shooters first.
Yeah, a lot of cats.
You didn't see it, but they were shooters first. I can tell you big name rappers shot their first person at 13. I know it. I was either there. I know the person they shot. So that's where you get the orange men, the sacrifices, like the sacrificial lambs, like the orange men or the scientists who blew his fucking brains out. You have all these, this is all part of the city culture. Outside of music, they just be another stat, but in our hearts, they're the ones who laid the foundation for us. They should be able to just walk into the fucking show.
It's true. I mean, you and I know a lot of artists from Boston in particular, personally, that outside of their music endeavors, their careers or whatever, we know about what their life was like, what they did. Like, you know, they got busy. They did for real, you know what I mean?
So uncomfortable things. Yeah. We knew what they did, so uncomfortable. Yeah.
Sometimes that works against your momentum in your career, but sometimes it can help it if you could transition. You know, the business side of shit is so finicky, especially in Boston. They don't want live hip hop, at least back then. Yeah. You know, they were very picky about it.
Really. I used to hate that, but at the same time, you got to think how small it is as a city and how small the black population is.
Small, very small city. I feel like
people don't understand. Like when we came up, right before we started doing shows, hip hop was literally out banned in Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't play hip hop in the clubs. You couldn't even wear a hat and tims in the club.
A white t-shirt, a hat, like all those dress.
No hip hop nights, nowhere, just top 40. No, and then we was mad about it. But guess what? We still went to them clubs.
Yes, sure.
And had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
See that control dynamic there, where it's like you can't listen to hip hop, but you got to go out.
Yeah.
This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna tighten you up, put you in a button down shirt. And then out of the gutter rose these crews, these young cats who were coming up rapping. By that time, like the biggest supporters of the music, who would have been at all the shows and supporting all the artists, were already Dunsky. They was already in the clubs. They're like, yeah, whatever. They was stuck on top 40 because they was fucking to it.
Yeah, it's true.
They ain't gonna hit underground shit no more. That's a crazy, maybe coincidence, but think about that. The hustlers, The dudes was in the club popping bottles. They wanted that Wise Guy shit. They wanted the, you know what I'm saying? But they fucking to, you know, Jodeci or whatever, like all the time. Like, it's whatever. I don't want to hear that. And then you hear them dudes, like even my age, like, that's good for underground.
Yeah.
I ain't into the underground shit. But like, yo, bro, like we went to school together, my G. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I feel like there was like a double-edged sword about old school gatekeepers. Like now, you know, anybody could put their shit out. Like people flood shit, get popular, but they might not be great. Like you're like, what the fuck? How is this shit so big? This is trash, you know? And gatekeeper shit, it sucks because they can play favorites. They can keep certain people out that, you know, don't play ball with the politics. Yeah. But at the same time, there was a little quality control. So when you kind of knock them down and open the gates, it's better. You even the playing field a little bit, but then you let a lot of bullshit get through. A lot of.
Well, yeah. So that was my thing with pay to play. Like when I would have arguments with people about it, I had half a brain, right? So
what pay to play is the heads.
Yeah. So when I it's just payroll, right? So before I was Quizzy Modal, like. They would talk to me, oh, pay to play. I'm like, you don't understand. I'm trying to explain it to them. There's no need to do pay to play when you can just upload your music online. So why are you making us do pay to play? You can literally just say, if you have these many plays, do the show, because that's what most people were doing. If you know the guy has as many plays the same way the industry does it, the industry ain't trying to make nobody. You know who's making it? People in the industry pay? Songwriters and producers who want to get quick cash. They're like, oh, yeah, I'll let you write a song for this person. Pay me to write this song. That's the same kind of thing. It's like, well, it has nothing to do with skills. It has nothing to do with actual accomplishment. That's what you're talking about, where you got all this weird shit coming. And I watched it. I was there. I was with all of them. I was showing love to everybody. I was giving, you know, I watched things on the inside. I saw how, you've seen it too, but I saw like the most ridiculous groups that everybody hated them or goofy. I watched. I was with them. I was at their crib. I fed them. They fed me. Like, you know, we would get high together or whatever. I watched how these dudes who came from outside the street culture and on this weird, like what we call corny, or like how they actually learn marketing. Like from to build a brand that nobody will hear of, but still kind of make money.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Cause like, that's where you get the industry involved in it. But when people get confused, the industry is not, it's not the culture, not in the least. The industry is what takes from the culture.
Yeah.
We weren't knocking on doors in the 80s when we had, like, it's the 50th anniversary. Think about this block party on the 5th.
Yeah.
Right? About that block party on the 5th. Think about that block, those block parties. They were coming out, they buildings, driving from Manhattan, where they was driving, you know, from wherever they was coming from and coming in and looking and like, I want to take a piece of that because I can make money off it. But they still had fire in their heart for it. They heard the poetics. They saw the drive. They saw, oh, what is he wearing? What did he do with his shoelaces? What did he do with his t-shirt? What is that, a biker jacket with like suit pants? Like, it's just crazy shit. But when hip hop first started, it was in the disco, bro. Like, stop playing. But you can't hate it. It's just don't let it go to coast.
It's in there everywhere.
You write books. You write books.
Yeah.
I'm working on a book. See, this is literature, and everybody's been saying it. Even the people who come from the hardest parts of hip hop, they say it's literature, and it is.
Yeah.
There's an intellectual, because there's no culture without, there has to be an intelligentsia to form a culture. Yeah, has to be some form of respect for people's minds and religion, right?
Most artists they're well read. They love Pimp C, Nas, all these guys, Pac. They read a shitload of books, and you can hear it seep through in the music, which made me want to read a lot of these books or like read more, make you a better MC, a better writer. You know,
just because I speak broken English doesn't mean my poetry isn't a stroke of genius. You know what I'm saying? Like real shit, like. Yo, Pimp C was the most ignorant talking ass, but mad smart, bro. Mad smart. Come on, Bun B's is a professor.
I love that shit, though. I feel him. Yeah. Your gut, you know, like, I love that.
And he stood up for the South. I like the way he used to stand up for the South.
I just watched a documentary about him, like last night on Mass Appeal or whatever, like a little 25-minute shit. It was ill as fuck. I mean, I love Pimp C. He's one of my, in my top 10, he's my number 10, which I feel like would surprise a lot of people, but I love him. He produced a lot of shit too. He sung the hooks. He's an ill motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Outside the booth, like outside the tapes, his interviews was crazy too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when I heard, I remember Park Full of Stones from the movie, movies at Park Full of Stones. But later on when they had The Game Belong to Me.
Yeah, that was my shit.
That spun me, bro. Because I was the only dude in the projects playing all like. When dude heard Outkast from me, right? They was like, who's that? I was like, yo, that's me, bro. Like, trying to take credit because they didn't know who it was. Bro, you're gonna tell me these Southern rappers ain't lyricists, bro?
Yeah, come on. Andre is like my number three probably of all time, maybe. You know?
But people do, like, kids couldn't hear back in the day because they just wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. So this goes back to what you were saying about you were saying about how people didn't realize it. It's because once you get some light, and they once they know they got to focus on this one thing, they're gonna make everything shine that color.
Yeah, of course.
They want you to see, so that outside that box, you're not even hearing outside that box. It's like when you talk to a girl and you say, "Excuse me, ma'am, do you have the time?" And she says, "I'm not interested. I have a boyfriend."
She assumes you're hitting on her.
Well, in her mind, she's not being hit right. So in her mind, she wants to turn you down. But why is she so focused on sex? She obviously think you're attractive, or she got it into that. She need that right now. So like, that's what it is. It's that low vibration. And that's what we stuck on. Where everybody wants to shoot them up, bang, bang, clout, whatever. Meanwhile, you got rappers like Nas dropping still. And Freddie Gibbs, for everybody, Benny the Butcher, like all these things that you know. And then underneath that, like the cloth movement, where you got these movements in Houston and LA and all these different things where it's like, yo, the culture's alive, but it's just getting so too close to home, bro. It's getting into the backyards now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pick for, like, nowhere to look if you want a certain shit, you know? Like, you got to seek it out a little bit more. As a fan.
So it's the metadata, right? Kids in the streets is learning metadata, but the people who learned it first are rich already.
Yeah.
That real estate, that, you know, pay me to blow your page up, dudes. Like, all that, like, that's already happening. There's an integrity problem in the streets with dudes like, I ain't trying to do, because I remember we used to say, I ain't paying to do that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not even real, my G. Just paid a little bit of cash, man.
Yeah.
And get some leverage. Because there's a lot of dudes out here on the underground who talk like that. Like, what happened to this? I like this. Like, at the end of the day, bro, it don't matter. Like, you can actually blow up.
Yeah.
You can blow up and be commercial, but like, look, who's the best rapper in the world? Like, you know what I'm saying? Who do we respect as the best rapper in the world? He's still hip-hop coaching.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot, all of them. So, anyone that is in consideration for best rapper in the world, we still consider him very hip-hop, very true.
Right. But why does that keep being kept from us now? Like, why can't I make stuff up in music?
Yeah.
I mean, I can. I'm not saying I can't. I can. But I don't. They feel alienated. My people will feel alienated. Yeah. The type of people that I come from. So it's like this act that you got to balance where it's like.
You run the risk of losing your core fan base or people that you really actually feel like you're making your art for. If you want to chase that, it's an awful trade-off. You know, like.
Yeah. Well, I think people are starting to understand. Like, Well, I mean, for me, I feel like I'm just starting. I don't like I said, even now, I'm still making music. Look, I'm in my bay. I still go to the same shows. I wouldn't mind blowing up. Like, I would try really hard, like, you know, to get some exposure. But at the end of the day, it's like,
by your standards, like, not.
But blowing up to my standards is never having to go over to work again.
Yeah.
Like, to own a house, couple cars, like, to live, like, a millionaire, multimillionaire off, like, even if the music was to set that up. Because there's so many things you can do. I mean, come on, I write books, movies, all these other things. Like, entertainment is what I grew up doing. It's all I know. When I go to work, I still got, like, a sore thumb, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't never went to work like, oh, yeah. Suck my dick, I'll quit, bitch. Like, I'm not spinning people's faces and shit. That's what I know from working. Yeah, just fuck you, right? Yeah, I ain't doing it. What the fuck you mean? I ain't pushing that broom, nigga. Like, that's all it was. Ever. And it wasn't even like street shit. It was just like, you don't see it like that when you were a kid. You don't see it as street shit. It's like, my mother let me do what I want. Fuck school, fuck everything. Ain't nobody gonna tell me nothing. That's just all it was.
Yeah. What do you think? Like, my mother let me kind of run wild. Like, when I moved in with her, when my folks split, she was cool with me, like, whatever. She was the cool mom. Like, she worked at night, bartending. I could have girls sleep over when I was 14, smoke weed, drink at the crib with the homies. It was awesome because she wanted to be cool, and I just ran wild. And I wonder, like, I was cool. I loved that, but, like, maybe it would have been a little better if I had a little more structure. I don't know.
Yeah. It's true because, like I said, I told you, because now we have this whole, like, it doesn't matter where you're from. Like, nobody knows where the man is no more.
Yeah, now it doesn't matter at all.
You got all these men out here trying to tell grown men how to be men. And, you know, we came and agree on cock and balls making you a man. So when I had a podcast like this, I want to talk about music, and the dude hit me like, yo, Oh, let's talk about can you tell us what it means to be a man? I'm like, no, bro. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, no, just come on, do it. I felt like I was being ridiculed. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, first of all, being a man ain't got nothing to do with whether you have money or not. There's good men who are broke, always have been, always will be.
Shitheads that are rich as fuck.
Yeah, so but at the same time, I don't care about another person's morals, right? I don't. Like,
yeah.
So there's probably more people who would say I'm not a man that people may know that would say I am. But here's the thing, homie, I will fuck you up. Right? No, look, listen.
That's true.
Like, bro, I can fight. I can cook. I can fight. I can cook. I can take care of children alone.
I've seen all three of those things in action, yo.
Yeah, so I'll stay at home dad. Bro, I ain't scared. Like, I can write, I can read, I can write. First of all, superhero, right? Right there. You can read and write, like, on a certain level. I can speak well when needed.
Yeah.
I can learn anything really fast. And this is like a sponge,
bro. You absorb information very well and you hold that shit forever. I've always loved that about you. Like, historical shit, whatever. You read a book, you knew everything in that fucking book forever.
That's the slipstream shit. That's the, because I talk about it as I read it. Like, when you learn a word and you use it in a sentence that day. That's all I did. I would just read and talk about it. So I would probably have a lot more sophomoric moments than, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, if I read something, but this is the thing. So the sacrifices men make, the sacrifices men make to keep it on music, the sacrifices that Big Daddy Kane, Ultra Magnetic, even like KRS-One, like all these dudes, I just think people forget that they was in the streets just like them drill rappers were.
Yeah.
Rakim was a stick-up kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, KRS-One was homeless.
Yeah.
Like, Big Daddy Kane wasn't nothing to play with in the streets. I don't, like, Kool Herc wasn't nothing to play with. Like, get out of here with that. Melly Mel was out
there. For shooting his fucking cousin. He's dipped in jewelry and Bally's with one fucking eye patch up. He bled down, dude. Yeah.
But it's just like, we just kind of, like, we stopped cutting our own diamonds. We just, like, fuck it.
Go. Oh, that's beautiful. I like that shit. That's the shit I like, dude. Like one couplet, one line that just
let me remember that. Then I'm gonna use it.
Say a lot with very little. I respect artists who say a lot with very little, like writers, whatever. Like the MCs that I love the most, like Pac will have half a bar. That's the illest shit. Or Nas will have half a bar that says so much. Those are the illest dudes. Or like authors, I like authors like that. You know.
Yeah. No, that's the Ransom. He's making very healing music, especially for the situation I'm in coming out of. Like, from a person listening to it, it probably sounds kind of savage, but there's things that, like, he's really helping a lot of men heal. Like, if you come from the streets and you live to be that age, if you have kids, like, the things he talk about, I mean, without me naming them, go buy his shit. Like, go listen to his shit. But the dude got some serious bars. Ransom got serious bars.
It's kind of his second wind, too, yo. He kind of came out.
I took 5 years off. Like I'm kind of like, he's like inspiration to me. Like,
yeah, he's got.
But no bullshit. I battle you, nigga. Don't get it twisted. But I love his shit, right? But Ransom's dope. But on the other end of things, like the super creative stuff, right? Like that's coming out and kids are doing. Like after X was killed, you still have like people like Lil Wayne. Like come on, he's never been out there like that. He's been signed since he was a child star.
13, 14.
That thing that song he did with Swiss, the new one, the X sample joint.
It was the old G Dep, the special delivery joint.
Nah, the one after that was All I Need Is a Song with a DMX sample. First of all, the one he did on the G Dep joint, but when he the way he opened up that song, like this kid has always been rhyming. He has every right to look, act, and do the things he does. But everything he does is so creative.
Yeah. He's an artist. You know,
it's so creative. Like it's like, yo, this dude, he has words in the dictionary. More than one. The first time, hurrah. The second time, all right, bro. Like, all right. Like we need to get Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody talk a Pulitzer. So nobody talk about it like that. But like this should be something. Like they should be flying K-Dot flags and Lil Wayne flags at every rally if it's talking about civil rights, what you call it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they should do.
Jay Electronica said some ill shit, like, years ago about Nas. He was like, Nas is, like, one of the best writers we got now. Not, like, rap writer, not like music writer, like writer, period. He writes like novels in his albums. Like, this guy's a modern fucking William S. Burroughs or Hemingway or whatever. Like, love that shit.
Mason, he was like,
yeah.
People tell me to listen to that Magic joint, the Magic 2 joint.
Well, then, yeah, I didn't get past the first joint.
I'm like, I gotta sit this one out for me.
I'm not a big fan of Hit-Boy's production. I love that Nas is like very prolific right now. He's rapping at a very high level. Production just kind of lacks like real soul. Like for me, the feeling, you know, like the beat. Yeah.
I mean, I like the opening of the album, and I like the first joint, but
there's a couple of joints that are tough. I mean, Nas kills it, but some of the beats, I'm like, oh, man, I just can't. Like, it's like, what does Hit-Boy have on Nas? Like blackmail photos? Like they just did 5 albums in like.
Years. They got blackmail phones on everybody.
I said, like, yo, Nas, like it took him years to do one album. He just did like 5 in like 3 or 4 years, which is great. Like he's killing it, but I'm like, why Hit-Boy? Why Hit-Boy?
But the shadows, bro, like the things that are going in the shadows is real. Like a person, art comes from pain, like no matter what it is. I don't care.
100%, 100%.
Right? So you don't, like, he probably, you don't know what was eating at him.
Yeah.
To make him write them out, because there's, like, as a creative person myself, even taking all this time off, like, I got joints on top of joints on top of joints that I wrote, like, almost a whole book done. Like, probably none of that shit probably ever see the light. Like, I wrote songs with no swears in them about, like, yoga and kundalini and spirituality. Like, I mean, at the same time, that's the poetry part of it. I didn't write them to beats. I didn't write them to put them out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man.
Like exercise,
I always do it.
Skills, maybe, or whatever.
It's not, I got to get it out of me because I'm not going to get past it. I ain't got nobody to talk to either. So when I'm in isolation, I'm making babies and I'm writing poetry. Like, all sorts of babies, bro. Like, well. And it's good. It's good. It's a good thing. But at the same time, it could be a bit of a struggle because I don't know no normality. I don't know social norms. I don't know. Like the games people play, I was never for it. So.
I feel like that's a beautiful quality to have because I fucking hate social norms. I hate like whatever the what's in the lexicon culturally, like the pop culture shit, whatever everybody's into. Like fuck all that. Like whatever the majority is into or doing, I've always tend to never like. So like you know, if that's the cool TV show, the cool movie, the cool artist, I usually just. Generally, they don't like them. Like, not because of that, but they just tend to not have the qualities that I like, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Like, oh, there's a lot to it. Like I said, like when I'm working a regular job, I mean, I ain't going to be out here hustling, but when I'm working a regular job, it's like, I feel hot. Like when people look at me, I feel like heat.
Like you got to.
Eyes are burning me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
A little bit. Put on the mask. Like play cool, right?
Yeah, but I overcompensate. You're like, to the point it gets a little, I feel like, straight like yo dog, like what's up with you? I promise I'm not like that's how I feel. Like I'm not gonna hit you, I'm nice, like I don't worry about it, I'm not gonna hurt you. You know what I'm saying? And then I go home, like I have to punch that bitch in the face. No,
gotta let it out, put it in music, hit the bags, whatever.
Hey, listen, I'll be getting into it. My past, I don't be taking no shit from no white folks, man. Like I'm not racist white folks, I'll say that. Like, and I don't be taking no shit from no weird ass black people at work neither. I'm like,
I don't know this.
And you can't just say that to people. Like I try saying it, people are like, yo, you're retarded. Like literally, they'll call me retarded. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, all right, whatever. You'll see then, I guess. Because I work hard, the customers like me, but why would you like working with somebody who just
hate? Or don't
like I'm on all the time. I'm just like volume 10 all the time.
Yeah, I feel you.
Like I'm backstage at a show. Like I'm behind the counter, like we about to rock a show.
That's ill.
You know what I'm saying? As I'm cracking jokes, I'm just running my mouth, like, just trying to hide. Like, just filling the air with words, because, I don't know, people talk about, like, other people. It's crazy how much people talk about other people.
Bro, there's a lot of podcasts. Like, dudes host these podcasts. It's like grown men gossiping, like, they're talking about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, popular podcasts. All these, like, dudes, comedians, or whatever the fuck they are, they just be gossiping. They're not talking about, like, music shit or certain issues or whatever, they're gossiping, whatever the fuck, like silly ass shit. It's fucking
that's an issue in itself, though. That's a social issue in itself. Like everybody has a podcast, and I'm like, I get it. But if like me and you, we kicking it, right? Like this is what we do. Like we have it. People enjoy it. You have your fan base. I'm sure people love to hear from me and shit. But if I go, I don't like showing up somewhere and not knowing who's gonna be there, and then the people who are there, I know damn well we don't like each other.
Yeah.
But I got to fit through a podcast. And then, like, there's one, I swear, multiple times show up to him. I'm on time. I'm early, half hour early.
You always got to be early, yo. On time is late.
And the other person show up an hour late. And then I'm like, yo, you're late. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. It starts now that I'm here. And I'm like, did you pull up in a fucking Bentley? Because I'm damn sure. I'm sure I ain't seen you pull up in here nothing like nice like that. Like, who are you again?
Yeah.
I have kids.
I got shit to do. I could have been better shit, dude. I hate that shit when heads are late because of that type of shit. LA, that's a very common thing, dude.
I get it. You know, you gotta play the part, but like, ain't nobody, I ain't think nobody's getting paid to be there. And then even afterwards, I don't like hanging out. I don't drink. I feel like I played myself a couple times by drinking and hanging out with people.
Just,
you know what I'm saying? Like, just because I want to figure out, all right, so what's so great about all this shit?
Yeah.
I'm old, you know what I'm saying? I'm old. I got kids. Like, I got to stop accepting things from people that, you know, I asked for or not being too proud to accept help that can actually put me on my feet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's that pride issue. Like,
yeah, I got issues with that same shit sometimes too, which I try to curb that shit as I've gotten older, but sometimes it's tough. Yeah. Especially like if you feel like you've accomplished a lot of other shit, to ask for help about something that you've already done before or you've done greater things than that, you're like, fuck, do I look weak? Do I look like I'm pleading or I'm helpless or whatever?
Yeah. And I see that man shit, right? So
exactly, yeah, that's that man shit. I'm like, yo, fuck that man shit.
But the warrior shit, the stoic shit is like, and trust me, bro, like, you know, I've been out of it.
Yeah.
Bro, in the shadows, every man has a point. If you never lost your mind, you never been to the point where life has brought you down to your knees, butt naked in tears like a baby.
You know, you don't even know life then, yo.
Who are you?
Exactly. Right?
So, so when people ask me, what does it mean to be a man? To be a man is to know, like, if you have to ask, then you ain't been through enough.
Exactly, yo. And I feel like the people who have not experienced that, they almost can look at you like, what the fuck's up with this dude? And like, you know, this guy's weirder or whatever, like, because he's going through the full spectrum of his feelings, emotions, experiences, but he's also not scared to share that shit, not scared to be open about that shit. And some people, it scares them. The vulnerability, I think, throws them off a little because they're scared to be like that. So,
I mean, well, the definition of vulnerability is you're open to be hurt. If you ain't have parents in your house and you can't figure it out, listen. Then be hedonistic till you can't anymore. Be hedonistic to like flirt with death for a little while.
Yeah, you gotta brush up with that shit a little bit.
Flirt with it a little, like be hedonistic. Do whatever the fuck you want. If you die from AIDS or whatever, that's what it is. Because that's what
surface the hell a little bit.
That's how you learn, and that's what's fun about life.
The best artists have felt that shit, have felt that burn a little bit. And that's why their art is tangible. It resonates with people because other people who've gotten close to that or went through that shit, they can feel that shit in your work. You know, they like that shit.
Yeah. And then there's even people who might even follow it. And that's where I pulled my music down because I was getting calls from other countries. Dudes was hitting me like, I'm in a, when I like, they listen to my shit. Oh, I'm in the mental hospital right now, listening to your shit. You know, I'm waiting in the waiting room for the mental hospital. No. And I was like, yo, that's when I started thinking about changing my name, taking music back. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, so I just woke up in a lab. I'm like, yo, did I come out of that, bro? Like, I feel like I remember being that person, being Amadeus, but there's things that's things people say to me or talk. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking to, bro? Like, I don't remember not being the nigga that slapped me in the fucking, like, you know what I'm saying? But I was a man in peace. But I didn't know that people didn't see that. I didn't know people didn't see that. They were taking advantage of the kindness. They'll take, like, my weakness, basically. Like,
which is very true. Very common. Especially in entertainment, I feel like that happens a lot in entertainment. Mm-hmm. A lot. Which sucks. Because it forces you to be, like, if the water's full of sharks, and you jump in as a fucking guppy or a seal, whatever, because you want to be good. You're gonna get fucked, so you got to become a shark too to swim with them. But then now you've changed. You've morphed into some shit you might not ever want to have been before. Now you might look at yourself in the mirror like, fuck, look what I've become just to achieve this. I don't like who I am right now. I don't like all these other motherfuckers around here, you know?
Well, I mean, you came up. I mean, you did songs for everybody, man. We need to talk about that. I mean, I don't know. You probably talked about all your podcasts before, but, bro. I mean, Joel Ortiz. I mean, damn, name them, bro. Crooked Eye, Nipsey. Like, the Nipsey shit was.
Yeah.
Jadakiss.
Styles.
Like, who? Styles. Everybody. And I remember, like, that Razor joint was banging.
That was, but like.
Nipsey got on. Nipsey was on that last party joint.
Yeah, that was like a long time ago before Nipsey would kind of like, you know, catch the love, like the $100 album, you know, Jay-Z bigging him up, all the help in his community shit, like his store out here. He got a lot of like love and attention later, which is great. But like, it was kind of cool for me to have him on a joint early in his career. He was already on like a Double XL cover with like the freshman class. I was very grateful to have a manager who was connected enough at the time to, you know, pull strings and shit like that for me, which is great, you know?
I mean, and you working with these guys, like, you're from that hustling texture of hip-hop. Like, you always had big names, you always had big tapes, big videos.
Yeah.
And to step away from it, that must have felt like a little, was it something that happened that just made you like, fuck
it? I did it, like, kind of like what we was talking about. So like that Razor joint was like my biggest record, you know, Hot 97 in Boston, Jamming 945, Hot 9 fucking New York. They were dropping bombs. It was my biggest shit. But I had a lot of people in my ear, my manager, my record promoter, all these people who were like, oh, you're killing it right here. Now you got to do this one is going to take you to the next level. I could see the carrot dangling, you know? And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. That song was big, but I wasn't going outside of what I wanted to do. But it was like all these people saying, yeah, just do a little bit more like this. And now you're going to be right here. You're going to get the deal. So I started carrot hanging and I was writing and recording shit that I didn't even like. Like I was making a lot of songs trying to like get the next thing. And, you know, they'd be like, oh, that's cool. But a little more like this. So I get this singer and I'm like, wasting all this fucking time. I don't even like this fucking music. I'm like making shit I don't like. And I realized, yo, I'm around a lot of people that I thought were good people originally when they got in the biz. And they got sour. Not artists, but like, you know, the managerial type, the blogger, the DJ guy, the radio guy, whatever. I was watching good people turn into what I felt like wasn't. And I was like, I'm going that way. Like, fuck this. I freaked out. That's when I started my band, Blue Gold. I was like, I want to do different shit. I want to get away from this. I bailed on my Jay the S career at its peak, at its best point. Because I got so sour, the industry, you got to play ball, you got to shake hands, you got to bite your tongue. If you don't like some artists and they ask you in an interview, you can't say that shit because you might have to work with them. You can't talk shit about this blog. You got to be cool. It's all politics. I watch kids now that you and I know that are very successful and I'm happy for them. It's awesome. I love that. But I know what they had to do to get there and they had to play this game. And I fucking hated that game. It drained all my love, my passion for the shit, you know? Sucked it all out, bro. I fucking hated that shit.
I mean, for me, it's to watch. I don't know if it was probably just the hype for you. I hate for everybody, basically.
We're hype for each other, though. That's the thing. Greater good was good like that. We had enough dudes to like cycle that around, you know?
I stepped back when hyping for somebody was like a step down socially. I'm like, all right, fuck you then. Like, this is culture, bro. Like, I still haven't broke out of that mindset where I could go to a show and hop on a drum. Where I could go to a show and spit, you know, hype my favorite rapper if he needed, or, you know what I'm saying? Or like even take somebody in the alley and tune them up and go back in the show. And like just, right, but now it's got to a real bad point. But I just like having that. So, I mean, like I said, I got songs, you know, I did hardcore albums, I did shoot 'em up albums, I did. But my personal albums, anything I put out, was basically just introspective.
Yeah.
And there's a point of it because, like I said, I never asked nobody. I was not the dude trying to get on. I was the dude that was happy to just be there, just be rapping. I didn't care about, I didn't have the vision of, oh, getting rich off music. Yeah, like, nah, like, it was, I had more fun with the bands than I did, like, rapping by myself, like, going places where everybody pulling you all these different directions, and you got to kind of, like, people are posturing, and I'm like, bro, you're not like that when we in the living room, bro. Like, what's up with you? Like, but then again, that's the mask people put on even when you go to work. So
yeah, sure.
Like, you got to be able to compartmentalize, like, all right, so when I'm out here, at this spot, I got to be like this. But then when I leave, I can go back to being gutter, gutter fabulous, right? So I get it. Like, that's why I give people, like, all the respect. I know what men sacrifice to get to where they are, and I always shout them out. I'm not going to do it publicly on no fucking fucking right. But that's just that. See, that's the game right there. I want to do it, but nah, they ain't going to hear it the right way. They're going to hear it like, you know, nah. Like,
it's funny it's, you say that you wasn't looking at, like, you know, getting on super hard, you were just doing it, because I feel like a lot of people that listen to you, whether it was like your, you know, your crew members like us, other artists or like promoters, producers, they looked at you like, yo, this dude is so good, he's so official, he's so polished, he's a machine in the lab, he writes so much, like, I want him to be on, like, they wanted to get behind at the time the Amadeus, the Stampede train, like, they wanted to help drive it a little bit, you know what I mean, they wanted to get in the operating room with you so they could help bring your shit to what level they thought you should be at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that was my problem. I didn't ask for it. Like, I'm not trying to get on. Stop calling me and stop telling me stop telling me what you can make if I want to get on. When did I come to you and say, I want to make money?
Yeah.
Like, don't get a twist. I want to make money. But if I was to, like, say, all right, yo, you want to get on? Yes. First of all, I can choreograph my own songs. I can dance. I can do all that. I can take a bigger part in it. But if the goal is to try to get me on to some fabricated, you know, because people used to always want to talk about the diagnosis and things like that. Yo, stop selling that to people, because that's not what defines a person.
Oh,
plenty of people in Hollywood. There's plenty of people who are famous who have bipolar or schizophrenia. Like, you never know. Because it's a real fucking fight. It's a struggle to the point where, and then when I would make the songs, like, this is why people call me crazy. This is why, like, you know what I'm saying, when I made House of Broken Mirrors.
Love that.
I didn't get to talk about this. House of Broken Mirrors, as I'm a day, a broken mirror is we're friends, right? Or your friends are a reflection of a part of you that you admire. If you're surrounded by people, if you shatter a glass, each person sees the same. You can look at that mirror, you're going to see the same thing in every little piece. So everywhere I went, people saw me as this one little piece of me.
Oh, I like that.
That's what that was about. Yeah, so songs like Push was about being born. It's called Push. It was Rosemary's Baby sample. And it was about, like, the whole devils and demons thing. And I pushed the whole thing over to make it swing, like jazz. And then it could push. Like, push this nigga out. Push them out. Push them out. And then the next song, House of Broken Mirrors. You pushed me out into this environment where I'm not seen as a human. And then, like, all the other songs. And then the album Devil Made Me. Like, every album is like this. The album Devil Made Me Do It was... I had somebody in the studio telling me what to write about on every fucking song. Say this, say that. I'm like, yo, you're the devil, bro. The devil wants to be entertained, bro.
Yeah, of course.
He wants you. He wants you walking around, hopping from foot to foot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he wants. He don't want you to win because the reason you want to win. He wants you to win so he can have a stake in it, and then also be able to be the one to be like this, to pull them strings on you, be the puppet master. That's the devil. Yeah.
You know, I hated that shit. Like, I understand, like, an executive producer's role, or, you know, a guy who makes the beat with you, you work together, you co-write a song, but, like, people telling you, nah, don't write that. What if you did this? Or, like, especially if they don't actually make music. They're not the producer. They're not a singer, an MC, a guitar player. They just want to be, they're not an artist, but they want to be. So that's why they work in that part of the industry. It's the closest they'll get to being creative, and they're trying to be creative with you.
There is an art to what they do, and it's the art of marionettes, the puppet master.
Yeah.
They're control freaks. And I mean, it's fine, like, that's the point, but I guess I just thought I never, you know, when you have half a brain, it's hard to explain it like this, but, like, I can't hate on you for your ambition. I can't hate on you for who you are. I can't even hate on you for whatever went wrong in our relationship. But, nigga, I did punch you in the face a couple times. I'll do it again. Like, don't just think. I didn't call you like, yo, let's get on. We shake hands, we make a deal for something. If you give me $50,000, and he's like, I want a song about, you know, a serial killer for this movie, and you give me $50,000 to write the song or do the score for a movie, I have the resume to prove that I can do it.
Yeah, that's like a hired what do you call that? Like a contract for hire type shit. Like
Right, it's artistry where I can separate myself from the beat. I can separate myself.
They're not trying to manipulate you as an artist and say, "Yo, we need this kind of song for this project." Can you, and
And
that's
that's all I did. That's all I did was build a resume. And every time you, if you talk to me in private, I always tell you, like, my ambition with music is to be able to live, to make music until I die.
yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, like, people are like, would you ghostwrite for a frat boy? Yeah. Would you ghostwrite? Yeah. Would you? I wrote R&B albums for niggas, and they don't even acknowledge it, bro. Like, so, rock songs. I wrote rock songs.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest signings, like, the pride in my heart that I have is getting a co-sign from Big Sight, Tupac's best friend, when I wrote a song for
I
him.
know you talked about that back in the day, because you were a huge Pac fan before I even got into Pac, and you was all about that Big Sight shit. Was a huge moment for you. I thought that was pretty ill.
It was like the biggest moment of my life. And then that even brought smoke, like, where people almost got shot over that shit. Like,
Really?
remember we did that show in, what's it called? I can say this now because nigga ain't fucked them niggas, but it was Southie. I did that fundraiser for my parents.
Oh, yeah. It was like the Warriors that night, get out of there, get back to our respective neighborhoods.
Yeah. So there was a dude, who this close, he had his hand, they pulled up with the window down. He had his hand on a rat and was about to shoot Skinny.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I stood in front of Skinny. I was standing in front of Skinny. I'm like, Skinny, don't move. Stay there. Nigga, they ain't going to pull the trigger from standing in front of you. And then after that happened, I caught, like, they put it there. I ended up putting the green light on me. I got caught on Magnolia. And
Shit. Oh,
I
so
was back down.
That's from South Boston. They was from somewhere else. They was from, like, MIC area.
Yeah, they was from, like, Interville. So,
yeah.
Like, but, like, it was like, yeah, I was like, nigga, you ain't getting out this house.
Shit.
But I'm here talking to you, so it's whatever, nigga. It's all love, right?
Yo, that show was wild as fuck, yo. For cats who don't know, like, South Boston, especially at the time, mostly Irish. Quizzes, Living Above?
I was living above the bar, yeah.
At the Junction, right? On Broadway or West Broadway?
It was
or,
Dorchester Street.
So it's like a bar, but it has like a little area to the right where you could do music, right? So you was already there, and the rest of the great.
All the time, I was playing there once, twice a month.
We come to meet you to do the show, and it's like me and the rest of the crew. You're already there. The bouncer looks at everybody. He's like, "Nah, you ain't getting in." Even like me, I went up first as the only white dude who also half Irish. The guy's like, "Nah, fuck, y'all ain't coming in." Then you were like, "Nah, that's us." Like they're performing. Yeah. He's like, "Oh, they're with you. They were very. They loved you." And there a lot of, we all went in there. Whatever. Where we had to perform was all the way around the bar in the corner, like the last.
That
place.
Was just, and that was just for that one event.
You couldn't get out, like you were trapped in the corner. It was cool, like it was, the girls were in there or whatever. But there was other people who came in who were not there for a hip hop show, who were probably
right.
Like, "Who the fuck are these six black dudes and this one white kid who is one of them?" And they're in the corner, and like the looks we were getting, like was like fuck. We were like prone, and dudes were like, "Yo, how the fuck are we gonna get out of here?" It was like the Warriors. We had to go back to Roxbury, JP, Dorchester, whatever. And also, dudes were like, "Yo, Arms lives upstairs. Like, what the fuck? That's crazy." You know?
Wow. I mean, well, that's the thing is, the Frequency 7, that was our regular bar.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like Skinny.
Yeah, so I'm doing like Sublime type joints. He's doing ska music. And that, like the songs I wrote were in that vein of music. Yeah. Those are the songs I was writing for that band. And I love a lot of them guys I went to high school with. I mean, the bass player went on to get signed to with his band One Mountain. The he was award winning, and the horn player's father sits on the board has for a long time. He's one of the best perfect pitch sax players in the world.
Shit.
He sits on the board at he teaches at Berkeley.
Shit.
So I had spoke to his students before, and he had like given me recommendations. And I used to like make music. Oh, musically it's perfect, but I'll play it for hip hop heads. Like, this is trash, my G. Like, what are you making? Like,
it's hard
for
hip hop fans. It's hard for them to, at least back then, to accept some shit that was a little bit outside in the fucking the sphere. You know what I mean?
But that was my whole thing. I remember, like, when I was my 13th birthday, I got a surprise party, and I walked into Columbia Point, the room, that big the rec center. I go up to the rec center, and it's my surprise birthday party. One side is Tent City, bro. South End. The other side, Hingham. Like, it was tight in there, bro.
What was Tent City?
It was so much tension in there, bro.
That's crazy, yo. That's crazy.
I walked, yo, and they just all collapsed in the dance together because I walked in there for my, and that's just been my whole life. Like, I want to be an ambassador for culture and, you know what I'm saying? Because music itself, like, hip hop takes from everything.
Yeah.
From classical all the way to whatever's next.
Jazz, all that shit, funk.
Yeah, that's how I take it from. That's just how my mind works. My mind don't work like, oh, I'm going to shoot this guy and get on, or, oh, I'm going to beat him in a rap battle and take his. Nah, it's just like, yo, we here together. And, yo, bring the bum in here with the bongos and, you know, get the shorty with the flute. Like, let's make something happen because that's the answer. And it, like, I mean, there's not one person who really loves music who hasn't said, this is what hip hop is. It's the marriage of everything. And it's the last really, anything after hip hop is going to be hip hop. Yeah. No matter what you call it, lo-fi, you want to call it, you know, cyberpunk, anything after hip-hop, because it is literally America. It's the melting pot of everything. Better than America is, where there's...
Yeah.
But it's just crazy how my band here doesn't know anything about the hip-hop. We can't even be in the same room without 10 people. You know, Frequency 7 can't even be in the same room as my band at Harvard, or, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, even... Creative Good had tension with Zombie Death Squad, like, type shit. Like, them dudes is mad weird. Like, so, but that's the beauty of it. If I would have got famous off one thing, it would just aided my spirit so much because it would have taken so many different pieces of me to be that one thing. I would have killed myself, bro.
You want to stretch your wings as an artist? You want
to? Yeah, I would have killed myself. I would have blown up and been like something like Tupac was, where he became a plant. Like, there's like, this is who Tupac is. And he was so much more than that. And he had to die. Yeah. The way he did, and like, nah, I didn't want to be that. So, like, if I would have had to sacrifice these other 46 sides of me for this one side to be a millionaire, I would have been dead in my mansion without no kids.
So, like, your new album, your new project, sonically, like, what's the vibe? Like, what's the feel?
Oh, so I mean, so I released Sidewall on the 4th of July. This is Sidewall is a it's like a kid, it's like a fun, kiddie, cartoony album. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just real hard, just hard bars, but the concept is about, like, how, you know, mind control and all that. Like, how we so connected and feel alone. The title track is me singing and rapping back-to-back, bar for bar. Like, kind of like on some weird shit, but it was fun to make. I'm not going to complain. And then I personally love it. When I'm in the mood for it, I love it. And then Shadow Renaissance is more, I was on a farm. They tried to kill me and they almost succeeded. And I told you the story. So I was dying, having a seizure that night when I got to the hospital. And it was a shadow man with the hat on sucking death out of me. And I made a deal with him. Now, it sounds like the devil, but it's not. Baron Samedi from Voodoo is the guy who he crosses you over, but he'll let you live if he think it's worth it. So it was more like, do you want revenge? If you don't want revenge, you can just go. But if you want revenge... So it's just basically, I think my spirit is going to be famous. I'm going to be famous for who I am, not for what I do for people. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like, for what I offer the world for my true thing. And that's the revenge. That's the revenge where there's people probably going to watch this interview like, I never knew this nigga thought like that. Or I didn't even think he could talk like that. Or I didn't think he looked like that. I didn't think he was strong like that. I didn't think, like, you know what I'm saying? That's what it's, I'm training for my first MMA fight. People didn't know I was a fighter first.
Unless they was your friends, like, we might have known that just from watching you in action back in the day. You know what I mean? We knew.
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, actually, like, I trained with Brunette Whitaker when I was a kid.
Shit.
So it was like this when my mother got married. It was like, do I fight or do I rap?
Or do both?
The night my mother got married, I was like, do I fight or do I rap? Because I was already out there with these MMA fighters. This was back in the 90s when it was crazy. Like, weight didn't matter, none of that. Yeah, and my brother was like, well, whatever you're gonna be. You ain't gonna be shit. That was the whole argument we had. So I was like, I'm gonna be a rapper then. And that's what happened. But I still, to this day, I still didn't have, I couldn't envision myself being 50 Cent or like I even had the argument with Valis. I'm like, bro, like, why are you pushing this so much? I'm like, there's one 50 Cent, there's one Tupac. Yeah, I'm like, yo, I don't know. Like, what do you plan on doing with this?
See a blueprint that works. They're like, yo, let me stick this dude in that same template, that blueprint, pump another dude out just like that. Get that money. Get that change.
I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter.
I know you are, but they aren't. They think everyone's going to fall for that, you know?
And even, like, you know, at my weakest point, like, going through everything I went through as far as, like, what I lost and who I was and what was taken from me, at least I got a chance to be like a real fucking observer, like a fly on the wall for a lot of situations. They saw me as a punk in the corner, or like I'm just sitting in the corner watching, like getting my balls handed to me. But at the end of the day, look what I took from it. Here I am.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Like what you take from all the bumps, the scrapes, the fucking falls. If you're smart enough, if you got the fucking the right perspective, you could turn that shit around to art, to ammunition, the fuel for whatever you're gonna do. Like that's like the best artists have those stories, those occurrences in their life. Like I imagine a lot of the artists I don't like probably never had a lot of ups and downs, and not just like downs, but like up, down, up, down. That's impressive to me. Like you get successful, you do well, you have a lot of momentum. You fuck up, you fall off, you get screwed or whatever. You come back. I love those stories. You know,
yeah, it's to get up. It's to get up, and that's the important to me because like I'm not out here fighting with nobody. It's just me versus myself at the end of the day. So anyway, that's what the shadow renaissance of. If you listen to it, you'll hear a lot of shit like, you know, I ain't no bitch. Just I'm the one that applies the pressure and all that. That's my shadow because people don't know me as that. But that's where I was from. Like you go back to the days where like, you know, you got the bully of the neighborhood, the kid that everybody tell you to stay away from, the gang leader. That was me.
Now I know. I watched you bully motherfuckers. Shit.
So for me it was I was writing that book at the same time. So it was like I'm healing up. I'm shitting in the hole. Like I'm pissing in our house. I'm living in a hand built cottage like the Unabomber. Oh, it took me 10 hours to bounce each song, bro.
Wait.
And I had brain damage and a traumatic brain injury. It hurt to read. It hurt to rap. It hurt to mix. It hurt to listen to. So it's a defining moment in my life. So when I put it back out, I was like, you know what? I took it down because none of my shit sounded right because, you know, out my head. But then I put it back out. I was like, yo, this sounds good. So I put it back out. I was like, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm still going to write this book. I'm still going to do what I like doing. But yeah, I'm still going to offer my music to people. And one day I'll be able to either curate my music or be able to use it as well. I'm actually doing it now. I do got a licensing deal with a local, a big place in LA for like getting my shit on movies and shit. It's just a process.
Yeah,
it's not fast. It's not like that. But once it starts rolling. So I got signed like maybe like 6 months ago.
Okay, shit.
I already gave him like 50 joints. But there's certain stuff like the. I got my team leader be asking for service. He's like, yo, give me that joint off Me Versus Me. I'm like, I don't. Yeah, all right, cool. So I gave him that too. But so now every time I write music, I can actually write music with so much freedom because there's so many different movies and TV shows that I even watch that is out there. Like, there's so much opportunity to make music. Yeah, I came up rapping, but no, I'm not. That doesn't define me as a person. I play instruments too.
Yeah, I feel like what you said earlier really encapsulates you as an artist and a human, but is also kind of the illest thing that an artist could achieve, if you will, is not getting rich or famous or respected for what they did as much as who they are. Like, I feel like that's even iller. It's not like, yo, this dude Quiz made a couple cool albums. It's, yeah, he made a lot of albums, but he's also a fighter, a philosopher, all this shit. Like it's a lot more, it's richer, you know? Like the respect from that is, I feel like would be more satisfactory to me or to any individual, you know? Like
I get it, but I'm telling you, I'll probably get off this podcast, go bang my head against the fucking wall. Like that's just how it works. People don't see that. People don't get to see.
Of course, yeah.
Like there's a lot of regret you gotta learn to live with in life, period, right?
Yeah.
But as far as like music goes, there's no regret. I have a lot of regret in my personal relationships or my family and stuff like that. Or maybe, you know, like my medical issues, right? Like the reason why I look like this or I got strong was because I would have been dead if I didn't treat myself. I have no medical records. They're missing. So, yes, it's a real serious thing. And then somebody says, nobody listens to your music. Stop making that stupid ass music. I'm like, which stupid song are you talking about? Because I got a million of them all different. Like, it's like this whole attitude of, no, you're not going to make a narrow needle for me to be. You're not going to make this little keyhole I got to pass through. No, you can be a gatekeeper to somebody else. I'm always going to love I'm here with my kids. This is more important than any show I could ever do.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I'm saying? Being able to get up, touch my toes and run 10K in the morning and be able to, it's more important than anything to me. But I can be like, you know, somebody, well, you ain't got no money. Can you rap, though?
Yeah, exactly. And like, I know people actually, with a lot of money are miserable, you know, too. I know people with money got no wife, no kids, no real close friends, and they're not happy at the end of the day. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a young man. I'm not saying it's a young man's game. That's why I said if you're young, like if you under the age of 27, 28, like just be hedonistic. Go out, be famous, yeah. Fuck a bunch of girls, like stick a needle in your arm. I don't like live your fucking life, bro. But at the end of the day,
have experiences for material as a writer, especially as like a book writer. Now, like if you don't live a life, like what the fuck are you gonna write about? Same with music. Like you're gonna write about other people or make shit up. Like you gotta have experiences for your music to have a real tangible substance in it, like a some shit that's visceral, you know, like people feel that shit.
Yeah, like that, yeah, it's that them dark moments that you bring to the light, they still sound like light. Like when you hear Nas talking about the way he write about the hood, what he sees, what he's been involved in the hood. Like he was a different, he wasn't that guy that they talked. Yeah. He was really out there like that.
Watching heads, he was right next to him, seeing all that shit.
Yeah, like he was like, yeah, like you hear that stuff. So those stories are more enriching, like
yeah, it's true.
I mean, like Miles Davis, and there's another thing. I got that's part of the club, right? I used to chill with his bodyguard, who was a New York City cop, and he was old, but he had like a stroke. He had like half his like Bell's palsy, and half his body was paralyzed. But he would still be there blowing lines of coke with me and telling me what it was really like and how Miles Davis was so on his shift. He played a show for white people. He turned his back to the crowd.
Really, Miles Davis would.
Yeah. Turn his back to a white crowd. That's why he played the sunglasses and all that. He didn't care. Like there was, he just didn't care. And he'll sit down in the back like it was cocaine. Like that's just. But then it was times where, that's where the whole cool shit come from. Like being like, but like I did. Like he didn't feel like he didn't want to tap dance with white people.
Yeah, and
they enjoyed his music. He played the music for him. He wasn't
trying to mess with them. All that shit. They were always trying to redirect him to make certain shit with heads, branch out, do collabos, step outside of his realm of choice, you know?
He's really, I mean, all of them, like just jazz in general. Bro, you got to think about like
jazz records right here. I stay, that's all I listen to when I write is only jazz in the background. No syncopated beats, no lyrics or vocals of any kind, just jazz, because I ain't going to rap along, I ain't going to sing along, I'm not going to groove, I'm going to be in my zone, you know?
Well, I mean, because if you explain jazz to people, it makes no sense.
Yeah, it's true. I feel
like all right, here's what we playing. This is what we playing. All right, make it up as you go along. That makes no sense in any.
It's true.
Are you freestyling on an instrument? Like
it's like freestyling, which you and I both love and respect and understand. So with that, I feel like you could understand jazz a little more. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but yeah, that's the whole thing. But I think people really, some people thought jazz was written like that.
Yeah, composed or whatever, like the shit on the
album. It wasn't really though. It was skeleton.
Yeah, it's true.
And yeah. all the great ones made that freestyle sound. Oof, buddy.
Go to Wally's, dude. Wally's is in your neighborhood, your alma mater of the South End, dude. I used to go to Wally's when I was younger because one of my aunts in Charlestown, huge jazz head, and I had an uncle that lived on Northampton Street in the South End. So they would go to Wally's, a spot in Cambridge and another jazz club back in the day, whatever. They put me on jazz before I...
Oh, like the Bobby Chef joint?
Yeah. I love jazz.
It's right there in Columbus, right? So my great-grandfather grew up played with Louis Armstrong. He's a jazz musician who ended up fighting the Nazis. He got captured and came back, diagnosed with schizophrenia.
That's pretty good.
And the man who raised me, who like brought me to college young and all that other stuff. He used to go to Bobby Chef's every day. He died from eating Bobby Chef's food.
Oh, damn.
And he would bring, he played the jazz trombone. You hear?
Yeah.
So I used to laugh at him, like, cause he'd come in there like, they're like, oh, Mr. Vince, you know, Jim, man, come up here and play with us. And he'd come out with this big ass machine gun he got put together and slide, you know what I mean? But he was nice with it, but he was so much more than that. But that's where I think hip hop is gonna, like, this is what I like about it. Like, yes, I did rap. I did get, like, if I wasn't rapping, I would have still made the same amount of money because I ain't made no money. I would have still lived in the same places. Everything would have been the same, but my life wouldn't have been as enriched to meet the people I dealt with and have the experiences. And so, like, and I think that's where I had to get comfortable with the regret of not ever really pushing and really understanding the game like that, is that I didn't lose anything.
Yeah. You gained a lot.
Like, I'm talking to you right now. Like,
you gained a lot. all the shit in your life that you experienced through that shit is, yeah, it sounds corny. It makes you who you are now, but it helps make whatever you write, whatever art you create, it helps make that shit. You know, it helps when you talk to your kids, it's in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that shit. I learned, you gotta learn to live with regrets. When cats be like, I got no regrets, dude, no regrets. I'm like, you fucking lying, dude. You're lying. Listen to Jersey, you gotta learn to live with them. They hurt a little, they can be heavy, but you gotta learn to live with them. And if you tell me you ain't got none, you fucking lying to me, because I got shit I regret. Maybe the way it went down helped mold me who I am now, but like, I'm still like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. I wish I didn't do that shit. But you learn to live with that shit. It's like a compass. It helps put you in the direction you wanna go in now, because you look back like, fuck, man, that shit was fucked up, or I should not have done that. You know, you learn from that shit. So if you tell me you got no regrets, you telling me that you're not really introspective, you're not critical enough of yourself at all. Like, everything you do is all good. You're perfect. You know what I mean?
But I mean, that's but that works for some people.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
I guess.
I'm honest. I'm jealous of them.
People, I don't think people understand the journey that, because I never really talked about anybody with it, but anybody who listens to my music can hear the journey I was on when I'm talking about. You know, they're like, oh, holy roller. No, I'm not. No, I dealt with it. Like, I was seeing things and going through things and looking at life from a certain standpoint. It wasn't like I was blowing cocaine and then going on a bender and then coming home and then like, oh, when's the next time I'm going to go out? It was just kind of like, I would be in my house reading, like, sometimes 2 books a day, watch movies, whatever, like, doing all this. Even, like, my destructive habits, if people want to talk about whatever addictions I had, I still read every day. I've never stopped until the head injury where it hurt. But even when I had the head injury and I couldn't read, I still was writing and recording albums.
You worked through that shit.
Yeah, but it's, to me, it's not work.
Well, I don't mean
you
like,
get what I'm saying? Like,
you did that during it. Like, you still were writing music. I don't mean like work, but like, you know, you were still doing what you love to do. You didn't
let it. But still, like, you bleed for it. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you bleed. Like, you piss it out. Like, you shit it. Like, it's just like, if I don't do it, I'm going to end up jumping on my shorty. Yeah.
I'll go fucking,
you know what I'm saying?
Right, dude. Yeah. I'll either take a gun in my crib and shoot myself in the head, or I'll go do some crazy shit. Like, it's therapeutic. Even if I don't publish it or put the song out or put the book out, like, writing that shit down, getting out of my fucking head. You could look at it. You could analyze it, whatever you want to say, reflect off of it. It's very helpful just to get that.
And that's why I like the music I like. And then dudes think, and here's another thing with music. They think if you listen, people who listen to some kind of music, they want to be that, or they think they live like that, or they relate to it in a certain way. Like, I don't relate to a lot of shit I hear in a lot of music. I feel attacked by some of the shit dudes be saying in their music, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they probably are trying to aim it at people who don't live that life. But at the same time, it's fucking a beautiful representation of where they're going.
It's true.
Like, yeah, the bar, like, it's everything we do is a representation. It's a reflection of who we are, including our friends.
Yeah. It's very true. Like, I got 2 questions for you, Quiz. First one is the easy one. Where can people find your latest project?
Everywhere. Quizimodo Numakina. It's going to be hard for SEO, I guess, but Quizimodo Numakina. Machina or whatever.
iTunes.
iTunes, Spotify. I mean, I upload to YouTube. If you follow MK Ultra Sounds on Instagram, I've been dropping every day. Description
of the podcast so they can find all that.
Yeah, so MK Ultra Sound, that's on that's Instagram. I drop every day, so I drop old Amadeus stuff. And I think it's good for people to go there because I pulled all Amadeus stuff offline. And I drop stuff that has never been released or freestyles or, like, you know, and I put an RIP there, like, you know, and little messages. I'll write about the song. And then, anywhere you get music, you can find it. YouTube's a good one. I'm going to start putting out more video content like this, chopping stuff like this up. And, as far as shows go, if you're trying to book me, let's go. Let's get it. I'm cheap.
So,
and I don't drink. So
when your MMA career kicks off, what's your finishing move? What are you doing to put dudes on the ground? Tapping out, knocking them out? What are you doing? Give us a
probably like a knee to the chest, bro.
That's very
knee to the solar plexus. Like, just take the wind out of them. And as they get on noodles, beat all of my noodles.
I'd almost rather get hit in the face than the wind knocked out of me, because you're like,
because you're helpless. You're helpless.
Yeah, I like
that. There's nothing you can do. Your arms are going to drop. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Like the figure four leg lock, dude. Make us off the top turnbuckle? No, no.
Now, this, I remember I used to fight and I would tell dudes, yo, I'm going to do, what do you want me to do to him when we fight?
Like, oh,
My headlock was vicious when I was a kid. I was like,
as a kid, yeah, I'm sure, dude. Even as an adult, though. So cats should like check your music out and definitely be cautious if they step in the octagon. If they step in the octagon.
I ain't gonna talk like that. It's real fun, bro. It's good for me, for the nervous energy.
Oh yeah, of course.
Even like the stand-up stuff was good because the anxiety's so bad and it's so scary to get up there and talk.
Yeah, that's true.
And you get used to bombing. And you get used to bombing. Like, I've done it. I think I did it last month. I did not bomb. I did the month before that. I did not bomb. Like, I'm starting to get comfortable. Yeah.
Who's your favorite comedian recently? Like, right now, who do you think is the funny? Not of all time, but, like, right now, who are you fucking with?
I mean, I'll always be a Chris Rock fan.
Yeah, of course.
This is the thing I say to everybody. Chris Rock don't say funny stuff. He says shit funny. Like, if he didn't have that voice and that look, he'd be Malcolm X. Take any last 10 minutes of any one of his shows, it'll be a Malcolm X. Just change it. Use AI to change the voice. He's fucking Malcolm X, bro.
Tie that in what we said earlier. Chris Rock's great quote is that the money ain't in the cure, the money's in the medicine.
There you go. Yeah.
So, who's your other guy?
I saw Dave Chappelle. Like, he cut it. Like, dog, he became. That's, we cut that diamond right there.